Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Church. It is a beautiful morning that the Lord has given us to live and give us life and an opportunity to come together and worship Him today. And it's an honor and a privilege to be here with Him. When I first became a Christian, I was interested in fasting. And I looked in the scriptures and there's just hardly nothing in the scriptures giving us instruction into fasting. And once the people came to Jesus and asked him, why do your disciples not fast like the Pharisees, John the Baptist disciples? And Jesus says, well, it's not right that they should fast while the bridegroom's here. And after the bridegroom's taken away, then they'll fast. So fasting is kind of assumed that we will fast in the New Testament, but there's really no clear instruction on it, how to fast. In the Old Testament, there was one fast that was given to Israel, and Israel neglected that fast. That was the Day of Atonement. They were to fast all day long, and do without and think about poor people in the world. And so if you open your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah chapter 58, we'll begin in verse 1. Let's first go to the Father in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, your grace, your goodness. Thank you for your church, this place. We pray that you continue to be with us and bless us and give us fruit that we might bear fruit in the name of Jesus, that souls might be saved, that we might serve and help the poor and the meek and the downtrodden and all those that are down and out. We might be able to preach the gospel to all the world. Have mercy on us, Father. We're so thankful for Jesus and his perfect sacrifice that gives us great standing in your sight, that we can come to you and say, Abba, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Isaiah 58, the Jews had taken the fast and had perverted it. And during that time, Isaiah had been instructed by the Lord in Isaiah 58, beginning of verse 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show that my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. Don't hold back. Tell the people about their sin. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice, and they take and delight in approaching to God. By the time of Jesus, the Jews had invented over 100 fasts a year. The Pharisees fasted twice a week. Verse 3, wherefore have we fasted, they say, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? That's just another synonym for fasting, afflicted your soul. That's what you're supposed to do when you fast, afflict your soul. And thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast, notice it's their fast. It's your fast. It's not God's fast that he gave them. In the day of your fast, you find pleasure. They had turned fasting into a feast. They sit in sackcloth and ashes on them and had a great feast. And they exact all your laborers. They had their servants labor, come and serve them, and made people work during the day of atonement. And during their fast, they had fasts all during the week that they had made up their own fast. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with a fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. That's not the way that the Jews were to fast on the Day of Atonement, in other words. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? So they had all the rituals, they had all the outward signs, but none of the inward grace. Will you then call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? We are to do that by preaching the gospel of Christ, helping the poor. There's great social justice that we can do. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? That was the whole idea of fast, that you do without your bread and give it to somebody else. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou mightest bring the poor and they that are cast out into thine own house? Thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. So we are to do these great works of kindness and mercy to people, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. We're the light of the world. People look to us. If we do these things, people will see, and then we'll shine like the glory. We'll shine like the morning. And thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. Your health has something to do with it. God, it's in God's interest to keep people who serve him alive on the earth. It's in his interest to keep you healthy. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. This takes us back to the time when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, and the Lord went before them as a cloud before them in the day, and at night as a pillar of fire behind them. And God says, I'll be your backside. I'll be your rearward. I'll keep your back if you do these things. I'll look out for you. I'll watch out for you. Then shall I call, and the Lord shall answer. And thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. But now here's an if. If. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, putting people in bondage, in the yoke of bondage, the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, pointing the finger at people. You know, pointing the finger will destroy our country. It'll destroy our church. It'll destroy our fellowship. The more we point the finger, you know, the old saying, when you point a finger at somebody, you got four of them pointing right back at you. And that's the way it is. When you judge, well, you know, we should look at ourselves first. If thou take away the midst of the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise forth in obscurity and darkness as the noonday. You know, when I first came here, we started feeding the poor, Fred Bond and Bernie Woods and I, and we'd feed after church, and there was a lot of poor and a lot of homeless back in those days. There isn't so many poor and homeless now, so we don't get to serve as many as we used to, but now we've come up with a better menu. Bobby's come up with a better menu. We feed them better than what we fed them before, and we have a really good menu for them, and I think that it's a great blessing to be able to take care of the poor and those that are down and out. And it bears fruit. There's always somebody getting saved. There's always somebody coming to the Lord, always somebody repenting. I could tell you a million stories, man, of Sean and how many people that we have met and been kind to, been merciful to, and how they've come to the Lord. You know, Eric gave me a CD of people telling me thank you back when I was in the hospital, and telling me that they appreciated me being in their lives and helping bring them to the Lord. And as I sit and watch that video, half of those people were dead. And this amazing thing about this church here is that when people are converted, about half of them live a year or so and they go to be with the Lord. Seems like God sends people here right at the end of life. Sinners like you and I, but not wicked, despicable people, but sinners. People who've goofed and fouled up in their life like we all have. But the Lord seems to know the difference and sends people here that we can have an influence on and we can do something for and let them find the Lord. Then shall I call, the Lord shall answer and cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou take away the midst of thee, the yoke of putting forth the finger and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be at noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continuously, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden to take springs of water, whose water shall fail not. Beautiful poetry of how God will bless us and make us water in the desert, cause great blooms, and we will be a blessing to everyone. And they shall be as thee shall be, and thou shalt build the old waste places. This place was an old waste place when I first came here. The congregation of very few old people that had no hope, no vision for the future. The church was going down and would probably been closed if it hadn't been sold. And it looks like that we build the old waste places. We've kept this church, and it's the church that reaches out to the world, the church that feeds the poor, it's the church that does all these things. Isn't it amazing how this chapter really sounds like Main Street Church of Christ? Verse 12. And they shall be of thee, shall build the old waste places, shall rise up the foundation of many generations. This church has been here since 1896. Isn't it wonderful that we get to raise up the foundation of many generations? And thou shalt be called a repairer of the breach, the restorer of the path to dwell in. Again, an if. These things will happen if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. They had neglected the Sabbath. They had neglected the Day of Atonement, and now they're neglecting the Sabbath, and they're doing their own pleasure, partying down on the Sabbath day instead. Pleasure on my holy day. And call this a Sabbath of delight, holy of the Lord, honorable. Thou shalt honor him, not doing thy own ways. Don't try to come up with your own doctrine or find thy own pleasure. In other words, God doesn't get pleasure. He gives you one Sabbath. He expects you to keep that Sabbath. He doesn't find pleasure in you multiplying these feast days, these days in which you don't eat, but really have a feast instead of finding thy own pleasure nor speaking thy own words. Preachers ought to take knowledge of that we need to speak God's word instead of our own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to rise upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken thee. This didn't happen to Israel. Israel didn't repent. This probably was written during the years of Masoneth, who took over after his father, good King Hezekiah, had died. And it was during the time of Masoneth that the Jewish tradition tells us that Isaiah was killed, probably because he preached this kind of sermon to the leadership and to the priests and to the king. The king had him killed, according to Jewish tradition, says he had him sawed in two. Turn with me to Psalms 41. I really enjoy this psalm. This is a wonderful psalm for me. It's about the Messiah as we get down into it. But it's for all of us here in the beginning of Psalms 41:1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him until the will of his enemy. It's in God's interest that he keeps us alive on the earth if we do his will and we consider the poor and do the things that the Lord would have us do. I had a heart attack and died three times in 2001. Excuse me, it was 2010. And the first time I died, they put a pump in my chest. The second time, they put a pump in my groin to pump blood back up to my heart. And the third time, they shocked me, and I remember kind of coming awake, but hearing the doctor, and the doctor said, when's he set for surgery? And the nurse says, he's the fourth one Tuesday. And he said, he's not going to last till Tuesday. Said, get him off those blood thinners, and I'll come in tomorrow and operate on it. And that was the head of surgery of the heart department of Baylor. And if I'd have had surgery on Tuesday, it would have been an intern that operated on me. But instead, I got the head of surgery to operate on me. Wonderful thing. God can do anything. God's given me another 11 years since then. And so I thank him so very much for it, and I hope to be of service to him. But it's in God's interest to keep people alive that do the right thing, that take care of the poor, the meek, the downtrodden, that preach the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the world. It's in his interest to keep those people alive. And he will not deliver them unto his enemies. You know, I look around and all of my enemies are dead. I don't know of a person that I count as enemies anymore. The Lord will strengthen him in the bed of his languishing. Thou will make his bed in his sickness. And I said, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Always confess your sins to God. Be merciful to me, God, for I have sinned against thee, and thee only have I sinned against. And I am sorry for my sin, and I hope that you are sorry for your sin. And don't ever get so big that you can't say to God, be merciful to me, the sinner. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 14, Luke chapter 14 is the parable of the Great Supper. And of course, the parable is about the great man, God, who invited everyone in the kingdom of the Jews to come to his great supper, the messianic banquet that's going to come about. And of course, the Jews didn't want to have Christ when he came. And he said also unto him that bade him, the Pharisee that bade him to come to a supper at his house, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, and neither thy kinsmen, nor the rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. This is so simple, it happens 1,000 times every day. You take a guy out to dinner and you say, well, I'm gonna pay for it today, and you buy it next time. Always happens just like that. Jesus said, don't do it that way. Don't call your friends or your brothers, so forth, you make a supper. Verse 13, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. So there's a reward coming. Someday all of us will be standing before God, and we'll all give an account of every idle word that we say. Someday we'll give an account. And you know, the thing about it is the truth will be the truth. You'll just have to sit there and hear it all. And you can't connive and you can't change it. We'll all give an account, every one of us someday. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that eats bread in the kingdom of God. Here this man was sitting with the king right then and had a chance to be in the kingdom of God, but this was just another empty, ritualistic, pharisaical saying. Then said he unto him, a certain man, God, gave a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time, saying to them that were bidden, come, for all things are ready. And they, with one consent, began to make excuse. And the first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. That's a lying excuse. Who in the world is rich enough to buy ground sight unseen? Nobody buys ground sight unseen. When I bought my house, I paid almost nothing for my house. It was a falling down house. But I guarantee you, I walked the whole perimeter, all the property line. I looked under it, I crawled under it, all the way to the front, underneath my house. I went up in the attic, and I walked all the rafters in the house. Nobody buys property sight unseen. This guy just didn't want to come to the supper. He wasn't about to come to the supper. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. 5 yoke of oxen, that's 10 oxen in ancient Israel. That was great wealth. Anybody with that great wealth would have had a servant prove his oxen. He wouldn't go prove his oxen. That's crazy. Another lying excuse. And another said, I have married a wife, a legal excuse. You see, when you got married in those days, you were exempt from the army, you were exempt from every kind of service for a year so that you could be with your wife for that first year. Well, he could have brought his wife to the supper, couldn't he? Wasn't any excuse. There's no excuse whatsoever. Another said, I've married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed the Lord these things. Jesus came, told God these things, that the Jews will not accept the supper. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets, into the lanes, and the cities, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. All the disciples are to go into all the world and bring in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. All the people that everybody else thinks have no value, every soul has infinite value before God. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. There's heaven is so big, we can't imagine how big heaven is. There's room for everybody. If you don't like me, that'll be all right, because you probably won't see me up there. It's so big. I'll probably be on the other side of it. Heaven is enormous. Why would you deny heaven to anybody? Yet there is room. And the Lord said to the servants, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Go to the crossroads where people, everybody, you get them coming and going. and compel them, and this word compel in the Greek is bend their arm behind them, twist their arm behind them, stay after them constantly, always after them, come to church. It's the only way that you'll see your beloved that's gone before you. We've got three widows in here, widowers that I've been talking to in the last few weeks. And that's the only way we'll see our beloved ever again, is that we be faithful unto death, and then God will give us a crown of life, and we'll enter and be able to see the loved one that's gone on before. Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Twist their arm. Stay after them every time you see them. Compel them to come, man, come. For all things are ready, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. The mercy and the severity of God. Mercy towards those who want mercy, and severity towards the proud and the haughty. There went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said to them, and then he teaches some social graces. Let's go to Matthew 22, the parable. It's a parable much like that last parable, but Jesus taught thousands of times, thousands of things. As John said, if the whole world was books, it couldn't contain everything that Jesus said and taught. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven, now this, the kingdom of heaven is the church. Matthew uses the kingdom of heaven. Mark and Luke uses the kingdom of God. These are both synonyms for the church. Means very plainly the church. Why don't you try, if you believe it means the end of the world and heaven in the future, why don't you try taking the parables and substitute the word heaven for it? And you'll see that it doesn't work. As an example, heaven is not going to be like the parable of the sower, where there'll be some saved and some lost. That's not going to be what heaven's going to be like. The heaven is going to be full of saved people. The decision's going to be made at the great judgment. And Jesus answered and spake unto them, saying in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven, or the church, is likened to a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants and called them that were bidden to the wedding, but they would not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, and my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. And they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. This is telling exactly what the Jews did. Verse 7, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies. Notice whose armies it was. The Roman armies destroyed Jerusalem, but whose armies was it? Well, it was God's armies. God is the one who sent them. He sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Exactly what he said he'd do. Then said he unto his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. Isn't that the truth? We cast a wide net here, and anybody that wants to be saved can be saved at Main Street Church of Christ. This is a place that you can have your sins washed away and have a brand new life altogether with Christ Jesus. There's just no reason that you can't, both bad and good. And a wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. This man is clothed in his own righteousness. There are many standing around the Church of Christ, hanging around the Church of Christ this morning that are not clothed in the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1, 16 and 17. So here is a man sitting in his own righteousness. And of course, Isaiah tells us that our own righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. And so he's sitting there in his own righteousness. And the king comes in and asks him, what are you doing sitting there in your own righteousness? See, he could have come in the appointed way. He could have had a brand new robe. A robe was issued at the door. It's a simple thing. You simply come to Christ. You believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You put your faith and your trust and your confidence in God to save you through him. You repent of your sins. You confess Christ as Lord. You're baptized into Christ. You have all your sins washed away. You rise to walk in newness of life, and a brand new robe is given to you, a robe of righteousness. And now you go through life, and you can walk with the righteous. You'll be known, your name's written in heaven forever, unless you foul it up. And if you foul it up, you repent, you still get your robe of righteousness. And he was speechless. And the king said unto the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. And there shall be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, and few are chosen. Isn't it amazing how the gospel calls everybody? How are we called? Everybody is called in the gospel. Everybody who hears the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, they hear about Jesus coming into the world, living a perfect, sinless life, and dying on the cross for you and I. They hear the gospel. They believe that gospel. They have the same chance to be saved as all the rest of us do. Many are called. Many people hear the call. But few people choose to obey the call. Many people are called and few are chosen. I didn't have a scripture on my list today, but I'd like to go to Romans chapter 12, verse 20. Romans chapter 12, verse 20. If you can't put that up, that's fine. People can look it up. Therefore, if thy enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. In so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. I used to think that this verse meant that if you do good to somebody and they don't appreciate it and they don't respect it, that God will get them. Sooner or later, God will get them. Just if you do good to your enemies and they continue to abuse you, that God will same way get them. But it's not mean that at all. in 1700 and something, some anonymous poet wrote a poetry, if I can remember the poem this morning. It says, as the artist smelts the sullen ore of lead, the heaping coals of fire upon his head, in a gentle warmth, the metal learns to glow, and pure and free from dross, the silver runs below. Let me tell you something, brethren. Through feeding the hungry and the poor, we have, I can't tell you the amount of people that has come to Christ and become pure like silver. I'll never forget Sean. I mentioned her earlier. Sean was quite a person. She had been on the streets since she was 8 years old. She had been raped and abused and connived and lied to and conned thousands of times. I met Sean. She was a big, tall, thin black girl. Met her down at Fred Bond's. He had a canning place down the street down here. And I met Sean down there, and Sean was across the street with her boyfriend in a vacant lot over there. And I'm standing there talking to Fred, and here in a minute, the boyfriend knocks her down. Man, did you see that, Fred? He said, oh, you hadn't seen nothing yet. And here in a minute, she gets up, and so she goes to boxing him. And she's the Cassius Clay. She's on his toes like Muhammad Ali, and she's boxing. She's counterpunching. She's boxing. And this girl knows how to fight with her fists. So here in a few minutes, the guy knocks her down again. And she lays out there a while, and in a few minutes she gets up, she gets a stick, it gets him, he's laid out on the tree, and she whams him more than four or five times with a stick. They carry on like that. And so Sean came here to eat, and we fed her out the kitchen window, and we were good to her, and we were nice to her. And two or three years went by, and she studied with us, and then finally she started coming to church, and then finally she heard over years the gospel, and she repented of her sins, and all of her sins was washed away, and she became a Christian. And you know something? She got off the street, she quit all the dope, she quit all of the drugs and everything, and she had a little apartment over here, and she got sick the first year she was a Christian. And she wound up in Baylor. And we were going every day to see her. And the doctors came and they said, Kelly, we don't want to tell her. We think that you ought to tell her. She's not going to make it. She's got cirrhosis of the liver. And we want you to tell her. And I went in and told her, Sean, this is the last roundup for you, baby. You're going to heaven. You're not gonna make it. And she cried, and I cried, and we all cried. And she went over to Dallas Rehab Hospital, and we visited her every day until she died. A wonderful story. She's sitting up there right now at the right hand of God, at the feet of Jesus, singing praises on that wonderful golden street. A girl that had no chance whatsoever if this church had been closed, if this church had been stolen, if this church had been used and abused or become fancy and not let people like that in the door. This was the only chance that this girl had, and she took it, and she's in heaven. He's in heaven, and I know it beyond any doubt. Therefore, if thy enemy is hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thy heap coals of fire upon his head. God is saying that the world is a crucible. And in this crucible is people. And He has built a fire under all of these people. And if we'll finish doing the work of a metalsmith and putting fire and coals on top of the boiling thing that's going on in there, that down below, pure silver will come out and pure gold in some places where you have a gold mine. In Matthew 25, doesn't tell us what to do to be saved. It tells us what the saved do. This is not how you're saved. This shows that you are saved. Regina brought food down here and fed the men on the parking lot for years, and I didn't even know it. I didn't know it till 6-8 months ago, I guess. Isn't it wonderful that people do that? She got the message. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And they shall be gathered together before him, all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And he will say unto those on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. How long has God had this plan in his mind? Since before the foundation of the world, God had one plan and one plan only. That's to save people through Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then shall a righteous answer and say, Lord, when did we thee a hunger and feed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came to thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it to me. Then to those on the left hand, depart from me, curse, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. See, one people had works of commission, and other people had works of omission. Now, the works of omission didn't damn them. It just showed who they really were. They were traveling under false flag. They were traveling under a flag that said Christian, and they weren't really Christians at all. Show me thy faith without thy work, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Isn't that what James said? I think it works that way. If you're here this morning and you want to become a Christian, now's the time to do it. Jesus Christ came into the world. God himself took on flesh and blood. He came and lived a perfect, sinless life and show us how we ought to live our life, and taught as no man ever taught, and did wonderful miracles like no man had ever even dreamed of. And of course, he was murdered, died, and suffered beyond description for you and I, because sin causes that much suffering. Won't you come and become a Christian? Put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you. March down to the front, make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Have your sins washed away. You're here this morning, you're ready, why don't you come? If you have sin in your life, you need the help of the church, the prayers of the church. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers, We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally. Go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.